Hello, everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Tonight on episode 30, I will be sharing some listener stories about a great entity that appears after trying to get rid of negative energy, a boy that vanishes within seconds of being seen, items that seem to go missing then reappear by a possible ghost thief, and someone being haunted by a cloaked shadow figure. Let's jump right into these true scary stories. Dispelling negative energy. I think about this night a lot. I've experienced some pretty weird paranormal things over the course of my life so far. But this one night in particular will always be what made me a 110% believer, if I wasn't already. It was about 2 years ago when me and my husband had a roommate living with us. We've all been on the spiritual journey of the magical side of things, but the roommate was a little more in-depth than even we were at the time. Well, long story short, he wanted to do a ritual to get rid of some negative energy in his life. We, of course, were there with him to lend him some of our own energy and get rid of some of our own negative energies. Once we were done, mind you, this is at night. It's dark outside, besides the bonfire and back porch light on. Our roommate started tracking and following something on the edge of our wood lines. We do live in Tennessee, all up in the Appalachian, and where we live has a lot of bent over trees that didn't just happen naturally. If any of y'all know anything about Native American culture, then you know about bent trees. So, we believe our property sits right in the middle of a spiritual pathway. Things are always crossing through our property, nothing bad, usually just curious. But anyways, while a roommate is following this entity along the tree line, me and my husband are trying to see what he's seeing, but walking slowly behind him. The roommate finally gets up the back porch and our property starts going uphill behind the house. So we've got a retaining wall that's a good 4 foot difference from the main ground and just keeps going up. I'm right behind my roommate at this point and he's pointing at this thing saying, "It's right there, come here where I'm standing." And I do. And when I tell you, when my human eyes finally laid eyes on this tall, faceless, very dark gray matter, humanoid looking being, yeah, I fucking believed every bit of the afterlife, alien life, folklore shit I have ever heard and or seen and just shrugged off. I watched this being literally turn left and keep walking down our tree line. We followed and kept our eyes on it the whole time. There was a moment when all three of us were facing it again, and I had a moment of fear. The thing actually began to walk towards us. At that moment, our roommate yelled at it to leave and that it is not welcome to be with us anymore. We turned around and quickly went inside. I truly believe it was our negative energies that we had dispelled that manifested into a being of its own. It never felt harmful, but sad and lonely. I'll never forget that experience, honestly. I have plenty of other experiences with said roommate, and I truly believe he has something attached to him. But that's the one that will forever stick with me. I'll never forget locking eyes with a thing, even though it didn't really have eyes, just a gray face. I think there's a ghost stealing my stuff. So, some months ago, I was looking for a watch that my grandmother had gifted me. I remember putting it in my jewelry box, and a couple days later, I couldn't find it. I thought maybe I had put it somewhere else, but that wasn't the case. I looked in the whole room but couldn't find it. Like 2 months passed and my grandma had asked me about the watch. I told her that I needed to have it adjusted because it didn't fit me. She told me she could fix it for me and told me to go look for it, but I didn't know where it was and asked her if by any chance could she have it, but she told me no. After that, I cleaned my room. I cleaned my room and closet every Sunday, again, hoping to find it. I asked my partner for help. We looked absolutely everywhere, especially the closet, because that's where I was always putting stuff and forgetting about it later. But we found absolutely nothing. I thought to myself that I was never going to find the watch, and I forgot about it. Another month passed, a random day. I opened the closet to look for a charger, and there it was. The watch literally right in front of my eyes. I quickly called my partner and showed her. She asked me where it was, and I explained it to her. I asked her if she had anything to do with it, like maybe she was playing a prank on me. But she told me no. After that, I honestly didn't give it much thought, and thought I was crazy. Some days ago, I think it was Saturday, my partner's AirPods went missing. We looked on the bed, under the pillows and blankets, in the drawers, the vanity, all of my full and empty purses. We also looked in her purse, and they were nowhere to be found. My girlfriend remembered she could find them with Find My, and it said she had left them at work. Later, she was looking for something else in her purse, and I was on my phone when we both looked up, and the headphones were there, right in the middle of the bed. I asked her if she had found them. She swore she hadn't and asked me if I put them there. This time she thought I was playing a prank on her, but I wasn't. She told me, "What if there's a ghost?" which for some reason made me think of some edibles that went missing some months ago, which were in my closet. No, my girlfriend didn't eat them. She gets sick from them. And I also have had some jewelry or miscellaneous stuff missing, but I didn't think of it until now. Me and my girlfriend believe heavily in ghosts, especially since I've had a lot of paranormal experiences ever since I was little, but nobody ever believed me. For example, some nights when I close my eyes, I can feel something above me, but it's taking pictures of me, and I can see the flash, but when I wake up, there's nothing there. This also happens to my girlfriend. When I go to sleep, I can feel something sit by my feet and just stare at me. There was a night where something was choking me, and also, I've always had a presence around me ever since I was little, but I have never felt anything malignant about this one. So, is there a ghost or are we just crazy? Unknown guy by the stream. My cousin Jason and I were exploring a little wooded area when we were teens. We spent most of the day just walking and checking stuff out. When it started getting a little late around dusk, we were walking back the way we had come. We had to walk around this thick stand of trees and then across a tiny stream, which fed into the large creek where we were playing around. Jason nudges my arm all of a sudden and said, "Look." He pointed through the stand of trees by the little stream, probably 10 yards away, was a boy sort of squatting by the stream. He was wearing a bright yellow shirt and blue jeans. There wasn't anything that odd at first, aside from the fact that we hadn't seen anybody else down there all day. He was just looking down with his hands resting on the mud in front of him. We continued around the stand of trees, and he was out of our sight for no more than 15 or 20 seconds. And when we got to where he had been, yeah, he vanished. No sign of him either. It was muddy right there where we had seen him sitting, squatting, and there were no footprints or handprints or bike tracks in the mud. No tracks or marks at all. Me and Jason looked at each other and ran home without stopping. We talked afterward about getting the same very bad feeling at the same time that we ran, but it's weird too. We were making a lot of noise walking through the woods, breaking branches, and he didn't even look up. Over the years since, I have been all over that area and haven't had anything else happen. Are you a fan of true crime? If so, come and join me as I discuss true crime cases involving murder and survivor stories. I'm Latasha, the host of In the Eyes of True Crime. And on this podcast, I want to share some of my favorite cases that I have found interesting over the years. If there are any cases you want to hear, just send them my way. Let's talk about it. Haunted by a cloaked shadow figure. I thought I would share a small collection of paranormal experiences I've had over the years. namely two specific incidents, both of which were somewhat ongoing for some time. I've always had a bit of a what I call a spooky meter. I don't really have any better word for it than that. There have been times I will walk into a room and get a very unsettling feeling, and generally I seem to visually perceive it differently. Things will generally appear darker and dimmer than they ought to, as if light is swallowed. As a bit of an example of my spooky radar going off, even in an exterior environment, I'm from Australia and a couple years back traveled to Cairns for work and met up with some people who worked for the same organization in a branch in far north Queensland. One of these whom I spent the most time with happened to be Aboriginal, and in our time off, she took me to a few touristy places. One of these went by a rock pool, and I instantly got a horrible feeling. Despite the fact that it was a sunny day and the sunlight appeared dull, dim, and gray. Kind of like that scene from Lord of the Rings when Frodo and Sam are traversing the mountains at the start of the Two Towers. I remember instinctively, I turned to her and said, "This is a bad place." Her eyes lit up and she immediately began telling me that this was an area that had a lot of drownings and that there is an old Aboriginal legend about a male and female from two separate tribes who fell in love, which was for reasons I'm not qualified to speak on, taboo. I'm probably going to butcher the story, so I do apologize, but in short, they were both punished and killed by that rock pool, and it's said that her angry spirit remains there and holds anyone that comes there under the water. There's actually a super scary story about one case in which the local news took a photo of the spot after a man drowned there and published it in the newspaper. In the photo, the rocks form the shape of the man's face, which is super creepy. I tried to hunt down the photo, but I can't for the life of me find it, so you will have to just take my word for it or do your own research. As far as the drownings go, there is actually a scientific reason for this that I'm not familiar with, that you can search up if you like. However, Aboriginals have a rich storytelling history. I'm conscious and not to misrepresent a rich, fascinating culture that doesn't get enough attention and love in Australia. This is just what I've been taught. I think there's actually some truth in a lot of these, and I know people on here like Wendigo stories. Some indigenous tribes have a version of the Wendigo, although I am not familiar with it. In my childhood home, which was built by my parents, so not a case of someone died here and haunts it. A fact my unbelieving father regularly tells me, even to this day when my siblings and I repeat this story. We had a spare room, which always gave me the creeps toward the back of the house at the end of a long hallway. I should also mention, we lived on a farm fairly far from town, and on it I've had a number of creepy experiences, but none like the ones I'm going to mention. I should also say, my father has lived in the house since his mid-20s along with a few housemates, one of which used to claim that the house was haunted. The only story my non-believing father told me that he couldn't explain was that the stereo system, which was unplugged, began blasting music in the early hours of the morning. Firstly, when I was extremely young, too young perhaps to recall this, but it has been a core memory for me always. I was awoken in my room by something I thought to be my father. I don't remember seeing him or what he looked like, only that I was lifted from my cot and put on the floor. He had large feet, and our hallway had a wooden floor. I remember crawling after him and following the imprints his bare feet made on the floor until we got to the kitchen. "Let's have ice cream," he said to me. He lifted me to the freezer, which was way, way too high for me to reach, and I grabbed the ice cream and began to eat it. It was dark at the time, and when the sun began to rise, my dad came back downstairs. I remember him asking me what I was doing and taking the ice cream for me. I told him I was eating the ice cream and that he had taken me to get it. He had absolutely no idea what I was talking about and said he absolutely did not wake me up in the middle of the night to go get me some ice cream. When I brought it up with him now as a young adult, He says he remembers it and claims I must have climbed it. There is absolutely no way I could have climbed it. When I was perhaps 4 or 5, I recall playing with my brother and 2 sisters at the end of the hallway opposite the room. We saw a black hooded figure that was blurry and smoky. It ran past us at a ridiculous speed and went into the spare room, slamming the door behind it. We all screamed and carried on, and then I guess forgot about it and put it down to being young and overly imaginative. Despite of this, however, we never entered that room if we didn't have to, and would always close the door and or turn the light on in there, only to find the door open and the lights off whenever we went back. Could have been our parents. That all changed when I was 12. My brother, who is 2 years older than me, and I had shared a room for our whole childhood. When my brother transitioned to high school, my parents thought it best we have our own rooms, as he was staying up later, and I'm sure puberty also played a role. I was moved into the spare room, which, as I'd gotten older, sort of gotten over my fear of. It was a simple room, fairly small and square. My bed was situated in the bottom left-hand corner of the room. A desk ran along the wall beside it toward the door, in which I mostly used for building Lego. The far left corner had a big-ass wooden wardrobe, which I never used. A window sat on the wall facing the door that never seemed to let enough light in despite its size, and the entire right-hand side of the room was just a giant cupboard with sliding doors. My walls were also covered in posters, which is important to note. I spent anywhere between 2 weeks to a month in hell when I first moved into that room. From the get-go, my spooky radar went pretty haywire, and I didn't really like being in there. I will do my best to recount the incidents that I remember, although there aren't a lot. For reference, I spent every night of that initial month in there, unable to sleep and battling all manner of strange occurrences. There were probably like 21 nights worth of scary incidents, most that I can't recall and probably deliberately tried to forget. The first occurrences were fairly tame. I used to have a pedestal fan running most nights that created a pretty heavy white noise. Because of it, I can't really confirm whether what I heard was real or not. But initially, I thought I could hear whispering throughout the night. It used to put me super on edge, especially since it was just faint enough that I couldn't discern if I was crazy or not. So already my sleep started getting pretty bad. Then things started to get worse. My floor was carpeted, and I would begin to hear that soft sort of crumpling sound you hear when someone's walking on it. The footsteps were slow and would always come toward me and would come from the wardrobe in the corner of the room. Strangely, most things would occur from the wardrobe in the corner. I remember I initially had a lamp in my room, which I would turn on as soon as I heard anything. But after way too short of a time, the bulb blew, and the lamp never worked again, no matter how many bulbs we put in it. I transitioned to using my iPod for a light, then with one of those torch apps, and this I always kept at my side. It became necessary for me to sleep facing the door, as every time I did finally get to sleep, if I was facing the wall, I would get a horrific nightmare. Sometimes I would fall asleep facing the door, have a nightmare, and wake up to find that I had rolled over in the night. I began to wake up periodically in the night to strange noises. Things would move around or fall off shelves. This was actually trackable and began to truly confirm my strong suspicions that something was amiss. I'm not Christian, but I am open-minded, and despite my lack of belief, God plays a part in this story. Strangely, I began to wake at 3 a.m., which is known as the witching hour. I didn't know this until I consulted the resident spooky expert of my school, who we will call James for the sake of the story. He was just a kid who had seen way too many horror movies. James told me that my room was likely haunted and that I should try and record it through the night. So I set up my iPod to charge overnight and used a voice recorder app to record the sounds during the night. I tried video first, however, my phone would overheat and die too quickly and probably wouldn't have had enough storage space for an 8-hour recording anyway. Old technology wasn't as capable as it is now. But strangely, the recordings would always stop at random intervals as though someone had pressed stop. I had a passcode, so that was impossible. So those amounted to nothing. Things got worse again. One day, I felt as though my duvet was moving, and I didn't think much of it because it used to fall down the side of my bed because of its weight sometimes. This time, it felt as though it were rising, and before I could really clock it, a hand touched my back. It wasn't freezing cold like the movies, nor did it burn me or anything like that. It just felt like a human hand planted itself on my back. I recoiled naturally and probably spent the rest of the night with a light on. From then on, I used to tuck my blanket underneath my body, which was a habit I maintained until I was like 18, thanks to that experience. Another time, my blanket felt like it was falling down the bed again, so I grabbed it and went to pull it back, only it didn't move. Initially, I thought it was stuck on something, but no matter how hard I pulled, it didn't move. That's when the blanket was pulled back. I remember my heart fucking raced. I essentially played tug of war with a fucking ghost for 30 seconds before it let up, and I flew backward with the blanket, having been pulling on it with all my strength and going back and forth prior to it. After that, I remember things got borderline awful, and I basically didn't sleep, ever. I spoke to James about it and how things seemed to be getting worse, and I was outright terrified now. And he speculated that it may be feeding on my fear and growing stronger with each passing night. This notion obviously horrified me, and I asked him what I could do. He actually suggested I pray, funnily enough, and told me a few things I could say that had worked in some horrors he'd seen. I don't remember the order of operations, but what I do know is that one night things were especially bad, whispering, objects moving around, falling, strange noises and footsteps. I couldn't take it anymore, so I prayed. I prayed that I be given the strength and courage to face the thing, and I prayed that whatever was in my room to go fuck off back to where it came from. I recall this next part perfectly, and will likely never forget it. I sat up in bed and yelled, "In the name of God, I banish you from my room." I remember raising my fists as though I was prepared to fight it with my bare hands. I think my courage was fueled by the belief that God was on my side. From the corner of my room rushed the same hooded black figure I saw in my childhood. It was like a misty blur. It moved so quickly that it generated a wind that swept across the room as it ran, blowing off all my posters and knocking over the Lego on my desk, which smashed on the floor. It rushed to the exit of my room and stopped in the doorway. It turned and looked at me for only about half a second. But what gives me the chills was at the speed it moved. In its time, I dare say it stared a lot longer than that. I remember I fell asleep after that in pure exhaustion and I slept like a fucking baby. When I woke up, I thought I had imagined or dreamt the whole thing, but when I looked around my room, it was fucking trashed. So badly that I remember my dad came in and told me it looked like a hurricane had passed through it. He didn't believe me when I told him what happened. I think he believed that I believed it, but some people, I guess, just have never had an experience and therefore refuse to buy into it whenever someone else tells a story. That's fair enough, I suppose. Nothing happened after that. I never forgot about what occurred, and it even made me a devout Christian for like 12 months. The only thing that occurred involving whatever the thing was came when I was about 15. We had what used to be a toy or playroom that got converted into a gym room with a treadmill and bench, plus the kids' computer room. I was working out in it one day while my sister was playing on the computer. I remember she looked over my shoulder and screamed. She said she saw a black hooded figure behind me, that it was blurry and hazel like it was made of smoke, and that it was watching me, and that it ran away when she screamed. That was the last I've ever seen it. It's funny though, because a lot of people apparently have seen the cloaked bastard during sleep paralysis. But I know I was awake when I saw it, and if you can't believe me, then believe my siblings. I've had some other spooky tales, One that shook me a little bit, that's much shorter, that's probably the best example of my spooky radar in action that I may have lost. Lots of people can relate to all of these stories in some way. I know I can. In the first story, I have always heard stories about opening doors to the paranormal when you are trying to rid bad energy from within yourself or your home. It's really all about setting intentions, but it is great that whatever the figure with the gray face was, they let it know that it was not welcome to follow them. If you don't put that out there, there's no telling what's going to happen. Especially when you're dealing with spirituality. In the next story, I can't tell you how many times I have looked for something only to find it exactly where it was days later. This reminded me of my sister's experience when she and her boyfriend kept throwing the cell phone in the dumpster and it kept reappearing. I hear this a lot. Things go missing and show up later on. It's very creepy. So to answer your question, no, I don't think y'all are crazy at all. The story after that, many times I have seen an animal or a person somewhere, but when you get closer, they're gone. In most cases, I believe it has to be paranormal. Nobody can move from sight as quick as it happens when it does. And the fact that they saw no footprints or anything in the mud when they got closer, if it were me, I wouldn't have even gone down there after they disappeared so quickly. Now, the last story was definitely something. I remember thinking my sister was talking to me after my stereo came on full blast at around 3 a.m. and years later I found out it wasn't her. To this day, I have no idea who I was even talking to. These stories were really creepy and scary. Thank you to those who shared your stories for this episode. It is greatly appreciated and I hope everyone enjoyed. As always, thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also, be sure to follow the podcast on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast. Subscribe and download to keep up with each new episode, and don't forget to rate and review the show. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories.